Blog Talk Radio.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to write this song, and you would learn the difference between right and wrong, and the devil's grip wouldn't be too strong, and the hook would be good, and you could sing along.
It is and it is, your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. Your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up.
The devil got you out there on the corner. Your block stays hot just like a sauna. From ghetto New York to ghetto California, your brother Jason X is going to warn you. Got a question for you. Answer me, thug. Why is he rhyming if he's pain selling drugs? He's a product of the devil's technology. Pitching and rock pitching on the same drug industry. Pitching a lifestyle to the weak minded. Snitching on those living the life while you're blind. Hit by all that glitter, which is not gold. The truth to the youth is about to unfold.
It is and it is. Your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up. It is and it is. Your decision is prison. They want to snatch your guts and lock us up.
The devil's got a plan that will not fail. Do you know how much they get to build and run a jail? Little towns upstate, it's their number one industry. Blacks and browns found in their penitentiary. Sick with their system, their penile, senile, a trick to enlist them as slaves in the meanwhile. Using our music as tools to corrupt them. Used and abused, stay in school to bankrupt them.
name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Richard Muhammad. I'm here with Brother Jason Muhammad. We just want to talk to the Nation Building family. We want to send you the greetings once again. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners who are not in the Nation Building family. We just want to say thank you for tuning in. Brother Jason, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, Brother Richard. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, beloved. You know, I just want to touch bases with you tonight, beloved, and just have a basic conversation. But before I do that, let me send a special shout-out, you know, to the love of my life, Sister Gidget Muhammad. You know, she's the founder of this show, I should say, of a real FOI, because she's the one that came to me and asked me to do the show. So I just want to send a special, you know, assalamu alaikum to her. Y'all know, already know how I feel. So we're not going to go that way tonight. Beloved, what I want to talk with you tonight is about technological warfare. And there's a reason why, you know, I wanted to do this show with you because, you know, as you know, me and you speak about these things quite frequently. And in line of the series of events that's been happening, you know, around my personal life, and I'm quite sure you can testify from other things that you've been hearing, I felt it necessary to deal with this specific topic tonight. So I'd just like for you to take it from me for a minute and touch on what your interpretation of technological warfare is.
Yes, sir, beloved. And I too would like to send greetings to all those involved with the show, The Real FOI. I'd like to send greetings of peace and paradise to all of those on the Nation Builders site. You know, big love to our brother Rakim, you know, Brother Will.
Yes.
Absolutely send them love and respect. And also to yourself, Brother Richard, thank you again for inviting me. Again, all those who are breaking their fast, this is the type of show that I do believe in and the type of entertainment that is known as edutainment, which is a mixture between entertainment and thoughtful conversation and strictly education. You know, there are several ways that we've been taught to get a point across. You know, you can have a strict lecture where everyone sits down with a pen and a pad, and you can have a humorous discussion where everyone's laughing. In both of those combinations, people are still learning. And I'd like to note that for all those who are sitting down breaking their fast, we don't intend to make this a heavy conversation filled with a lot of things that would not interest you. We intend to make this a light conversation between brothers and draw you into what we have been going through, and maybe some of you, if you would like to, please call in and share your experiences, because I know for a fact that you are also experiencing some of the same things Brother Richard and I will be discussing this evening. Our brother Faris Muhammad is our engineer this evening, and I'd like to send big love to Brother Faris and his family. Of course, we thank him and thank Allah much for him. Brother Black Caesar and Caesar Productions, you know, we always got mad love for him. And the work that they're doing behind the scenes is immeasurable. You can't put a dollar value on it. It's priceless. And we thank them for being the engineers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All of that being said, let's get into the topic, Brother Richard.
And yes, sir.
I'm going to start with a quote that I usually get from our brother who is the engineer tonight, Brother Faris Muhammad, who makes this quote. He says, language is technology. And that's the first part, Brother Richard, what I'd like to start with is the use of language and how it is a technology in itself and how language could be used in warfare. You know what
I'm saying,
Brother Richard?
Let's get started then, beloved.
All right. So you know how every country, even before countries were, you know, nation states and they had their own ministries of defense, ministries of warfare, there was always a way that one country or one nation state could communicate with another country or nation state when and if they decided or desired to go to war. And one of the things that you would know is they would have a minister of war in the mafia world, it'd be a consigliere. It would be someone that speaks on behalf of those that are in power, in charge. And that person who speaks for the nation state, you have Hillary Clinton is the United States
secretary.
Right. And so all of those secretaries and all of those consulates that are in various countries, the object is for them to use the technology of language so they don't have to get to the physical. So
yes.
Starting out with language is technology, let's break it down. The reason why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad asked for us as their students to study language is because of that same fact. Language will determine somebody's intention. And I do believe that the language that we're speaking right now, our slave master's language, English, it has so many different derivations and it has so many different ways that you can speak English, is just so misunderstanding will be the order of the day. What do I mean? When you and I sit down, we have a regular conversation. I could be from one neighborhood, you can be from another neighborhood. We both decide to sit down and speak English, but the little minute phrases that could be determined or they could be known as slang, I speak a particular slang in my hood, you speak a particular slang in your hood, and just on the nuances in the language, it could drive us to war. So we got to be clear. We have to be clear in our language. We have to be able to break down and determine words because words represent ideas. So I just wanted to start it out that way so we could bring understanding and clarity to how we're going to speak tonight, Brother Richard.
I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
No. So I was going to say, so you know, we'll begin with the language itself as technology. So go ahead and please build with me on that one, bro.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree with you, beloved, and this is why the Christ said that we must learn to speak the language and speak it grammatically correct, because in speaking it, there's an understanding behind hidden motives, hidden agendas, you know, and whatever the intent of individuals are and can be to a specific group or individuals in itself. You know, the book says in the beginning was the word. Everything is based off of information today. And if you gather the wrong information incorrectly at an untimely event, then, you know, you might find yourself, as you say, in a conflict of battle with individuals that you don't even know yourself how you got there. You understand what I'm saying, beloved? Today we have to be conscious of the information and the knowledge that we receive, because when you deal with the word technological, its meaning is an application of scientific knowledge that is applied. And how you apply this this knowledge will determine today whether you live or die, beloved.
Yes, sir. I bear witness, Brother Richard. And it's so serious because we're not speaking, as we know, we're not speaking our original language. And
that's correct.
We could say, you know, that we've mastered the language that we're speaking, but I'll just give you an example of how deeply this language that we speak is rooted in falsehood. So even the Native American, our beloved brothers that we, you know, misnamed the Indian, they said white man speak with forked tongue. And that was a very simple simple way of saying you have to be careful, because the language that this man is using, it can go left and right at the same time. So breaking down the language from its minuscule portion, the very root. You know, when we learn as babies, we begin to learn how to use the language of English. It starts out with what? The ABCs, right?
Yes, sir.
They say, learn your ABCs, and they give us a little song that goes along with it, and they say that it's 26 letters involved in that alphabet, and how you arrange those 26 letters, and they will give you a word. How you arrange those words will give you a sentence. How you arrange those sentences will give you a paragraph. How you arrange those paragraphs will give you a speech or a book. So even from its inception, the letters, the alphabet, and you know alpha meaning first and bet, well, you could bet your life on it. Something is going on in it. And I had taken the time and studied it, not in its entirety, because this etymology or the science of words and linguistics, it could take you an entire lifetime just in the language of English. But I just wanted to give you a parsing of some of what I studied. We learned that there's 26 letters in the alphabet, but it's not actually 26 letters, because if we thought about it, each one of those letters, when we learn to write the English language, it can be in upper or lower case. So we learn when we're writing someone's a proper noun or a name, we start off with what? A capital letter, and then the rest of the letters are what they call minuscule or small case, smaller case. So we have an uppercase and a smaller case. And I'll tell you, I believe there are 56 letters in the alphabet. Why do I say that? You could have a word, God, G-O-D, but if you capitalize the first G, it would mean the one God, the He, the God. And if you make a lowercase G, God, that lowercase G-O-D could mean something like the God the God of the insects. It could be a smaller G. I'll give you the same example. Let's take the word He, H-E. Now, if we capitalize the letter H and make that H a uppercase H and then a small E, what does that refer to?
Someone,
when we're reading it and it says He with a capital H-E, it usually refers to God.
Yes, sir.
And so I'll give you another example. You see the word democracy. You could spell it with a small D, democracy. That means one thing, but if you capitalize the D and make it a proper noun, it means something else. And you could take that throughout almost all of the language, where if you raise the first letter and make it capital, it changes the meaning of the entire word. So if you and I are speaking, I have to say, well, I'm talking about small D democracy, or I'm talking about big D democracy, because unless it's written out, you would never know. So that gives you an idea exactly what our Native American brothers and sisters are saying. White man speak with a forked tongue, because you have to get them to constantly redefine and redefine and redefine what he's saying based on the time, the nature, circumstance. You know, if you're going to court, you have to actually ask the court attendant, the clerk, to spell the name of the person who they intend to try. If you don't spell out your name a particular way, it may not be talking about you. It may be talking about what they call the straw man who the state set up to represent you for legal matters dealing with finance.
Yes, sir.
So you walk into court and they say, well, Jason E. Laurie, will you please stand up? I have to say, well, I beg your pardon. Who are you referring to? Can you spell that out, please? And if you say capital H, capital J, capital A, capital S, capital O, capital N, I have to remain in my seat because he ain't talking about me.
Yes, sir.
He's referring to someone they created to stand in my place.
Yes, sir.
So I'm just saying that language being technology, that is the first line of defense. When we go, especially when we get dragged into court, or if we're going someplace where the parsing of words is very important, it drags me back to watching on TV when they had the ex-president William Jefferson Clinton up on charges for impeachment. And
oh, you in my head, brother.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead and tell the rest of the story, brother.
Go ahead, because you're stealing thoughts right now. But go ahead, beloved.
I'm just giving an example of exactly how he said, well, you know, what does this mean? He had to break down the word. He said, I did not have sex with that woman.
Yes,
and
sir.
And he had to say, well, wait a minute. He said, well, what do you mean by I? What do you mean by did? What do you mean by have? What do you mean by sex? And when the word came down to the word sex, it had to be specified on so many different levels that he was able to walk right out from under the trap that at that time the Republican Senate had set for him. It was all in the technology of the language. Go ahead, brother. I know you had something to say about it.
Well, you know, beloved, you touching on so many points. You know, and you touched on the corporate entity that is created at the time of someone being born through the form of their social security card and their birth certificate. But that's a subject that, you know, I would like to share with you on a later date on the air, because I told this beast, man, if he continue to do what he do, that I'm going to expose him. So that's another bullet down the road. We can refrain from that a little bit. But I just wanted to say, while you were speaking about that, beloved, you know, I started thinking about our dear brother Malcolm, man, you know, and how these same words that we speak of, he used them in a scientific method to actually baffle the wise of this world. You know, I have watched many videos of him debating the so-called wise of this world, and he actually had them tongue-tied with that which he presented to them of the wisdom of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad. You know, and that leads me to understand that, in fact, what you're talking about as far as the use of words, you're 100% correct. Again, Clinton, he brought forth a presentation to them, and he asked them to define what does it mean to have sexual relationships in the context of what we look at a Webster's dictionary. Is not what the judges who judge this world choose their words from. They have what is called Black's Law Dictionary, which defines the legal vocabulary as far as the usage of words is. And yes, he was able to slip out of that because the definition didn't fit the event, although we know he had some type of physical contact with Monica Lewinsky, you know. And when you look at what's going on today, many people, They're listening to different various devices that's emanating different sounds or different languages or different voices that they hear. If you notice what they did to our brothers in Vietnam, they would sit in the jungle and they'd use this same type of technology where they set up speakers in the jungle, and they started emanating different sounds and whatnot, you know. So this is a very craftful and skillful satanic force that we're dealing with, beloved. So you know,
Yes, sir. That part that you were talking about there, it is in what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote. In Message to the Black Man, there was a chapter called Battle in the Sky, if I'm wrong. Fall of America. It was a message to the black man. And he mentioned the battle in the sky because that is where the battle of this world for all of us is going to take place in the sky. And it was not only physically but metaphorically, and the sky being the best part of yourself being your brain. And we have to be able to fight with our brains before we ever get a chance to fight with our fists. And that's the reason why in this topic on technological warfare, beloved, I wanted to make sure that we started out with the very basic, and that's the language. Because all the chances that they get, they trap us in language. And they trap us, they tie our hands, and they make us to feel inferior, knowing that this is not our language, knowing that we're doing the best that we can. And I just wanted to bring a point of fact. When the whole debate on what they call Ebonics or black speech came through the educational system, there were a lot of black intellectuals that totally dismissed the idea that black people could develop a technology inside of a technology, knowing that black language and black speech could not just be codified by one set of rules. We are a fluid people, and Ebonics, or the words that we spoke in and among ourselves, was actually a protection or a covering for us, where we could be in and amongst those that use the language craftily and be able to take their technology and turn it against them. And that's the point that I wanted to have as a thread to run throughout our conversation tonight, brother, is the fact that whatever technology they have developed to destroy us, we have the ability to use their technology against them if we have a modicum or small degree of creativity and love of Allah, God.
Yes, sir. I absolutely 100% agree with you once again, beloved, because as you know, they have used various things to try to destroy us as a people. The creation of AIDS didn't just happen. It just popped out of nowhere. But as Maya Angelou said it best, and still we rise. Everything that they have done that they can use so far that they have put against us, we rose through it by the grace of Allah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said that there's nothing that they can do that will stop the rise of the original man. The only people or only thing that can stop us is ourselves. This enemy is doomed, and I hope that he's tuned into the show. I'm going to say it again. He's doomed. His time is up. And you know, when they did or do the things that they're doing, brother, you know, I was blessed, you know, a couple of years back to go into different psychiatric wards and visit some of the former followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that they deemed to be crazy, brother. And, you know, in talking to many of them, brother, they are as sane as you and I speaking today. It's just circumstances, things that, as they explained it to me, and I was able to sit there and decipher it with, you know, the wisdom that, you know, some wisdom that I have now, you know, and I say, man, this was a terrible trick that was played on them, you know, and it was hurtful to see there's such smiling, beautiful faces. And the love that they have for my father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, still exists to this very moment, beloved. And they had embraced me, of course, because they see me representing him. And as I spoke to them and brought them food inside these different facilities, you know, their love and the knowledge that was given to them by our father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they still have it, brother. So that led me to believe and to understand that which he gives to us, it is forevermore. It is infinite, and this enemy is trying to stop and cut his light out, but they will be unsuccessful. In fact, they will only hasten their doom.
Yes, sir. But let me just bring something out to you, brother. As you mentioned the psychiatric wards, I just wanted to put this on the mind of the listener. and I would like us to be very clear on this. We need to be able to reassess when someone is labeled from the lenses or the glasses of our enemy, our open enemy, because they will use, again, language to define something that we know of. We have a understanding from a level, from a cellular level. We have an understanding from a feeling inside of us. We may not know exactly how it happened, but we know it happened. We may not exactly know the minute details of how something came into existence, but we know it exists. And I'd just like to say, where that's concerned, especially regarding the psychiatric ward, evaluation, there's a book that comes out, let's say, every 5-10 years called the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, that is made from the psychiatrists of this world. They get together and they begin to assess people's psychological dilemma. They put it together with language to denote this particular behavior that someone is exhibiting becomes known as this. They would say that a person that has two minds at the same time, that person, as far as the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, will now and forever be known as a schizophrenic. That's their word for their label. Now, the reason why I brought that up is, if you look at societies of old, especially when you're talking about on the continent, original people, they didn't have a lot of psychiatric wards. As a matter of fact, they did not have a lot of mental illness. And from what I have studied and what I have been parsing with different people, is one of the reasons why you didn't find a lot of mental illness in those societies is because they were not so complex that you had to actually split your mind to be able to be in that society and be in a loving framework or state of mind at the same time. What am I talking about? Every black person that works on a job that has a majority of Caucasian people will understand what I'm about to say. We have a language that we speak at home. And then when we go to work and we're in and among our colleagues who don't happen to know the language that we speak at home, we change our technology to fit the situation. So I may be home on the corner cutting it up with my fellas, but as soon as I step into corporate America, not only does my speech pattern change, but the words that I use change, the technology that I use change, but also the direction of my body language, everything changes to fit or suit an unreal scenario that was set up just to oppress me and my people. So in order for me to get up and earn money to feed my family, I actually have to put myself in the mindset of the oppressor to help the oppressor to oppress my people so I can help my family. So you automatically set up a dichotomy in your own brain. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us to do for self. If we were able to do for self and have our own economy, we could have one brain throughout the entire day. So we understand that even when we sit and talk with Caucasian people, we talk to them from a position of strength and power and one-mindedness, single-mindedness. So we don't have to say, well, I'm on the job and I'm speaking corporate-y, and then I go home and I speak the language of the people. It's one language throughout, one technology throughout, one mindset throughout. And one of the reasons why, as I said what people would like to call primitive civilizations, they didn't have that problem is because everyone danced. I'm going to say that again. Everyone danced. They would play drums, they would play instruments, and everyone from the time they were a child, they knew that this particular rhythm that is being played, this is for everybody to dance. And it wasn't a thing that, oh, I'm too shy. No, you got up and you did the dance of the heart. No, you got up, you did the dance of the hunt. No, you got up and did the dance for courtship. Everybody knew it. Everybody did it, and it was a physical way to interact with vibration that put us all in the same mind at the same time for singular purpose and singular mindedness. So if you were in the mindset that you were out of order with the society, well, they would bring you to someone, they would read what your particular mental disorder was for that minute, and they would play some music, they would ring some bells, they would shake some shakers, and you would dance. And you would dance yourself out of that particular mental illness. I know that was a little long, but
that was right on point, beloved. Because I'm gonna bring it to you in some understanding from what I'm looking at it from. You know, Jesus said that I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. It's two mindsets there. Is one of heaven and one of hell, brother. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Because being here, you deal on one level, and then spiritually you deal on a totally different level. You know, I was just sitting here as you were speaking on that, and I was thinking back to the show that I heard. I believe it was Sunday. With my dear future wife and sister what is her name? Brother John Muhammad's wife. Sister Mildred Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Forrest. And you know, I was listening to her and how she said that he was the most loving, kind and thoughtful man until he went to Desert Storm, and she used the terminology that when he came back, he was not debriefed. It leads me to know, or to want to know, what is it that was said to him? What is it that struck his psyche that he had to be debriefed in order to return back to normal? This is a hell of a condition that I find even with those who are in law enforcement when they take on the role of going to the academy. I don't know about y'all, but I watch certain members of my family when they go into these academies and they start studying law for whatever different particular position that they are applying for. Their whole demeanor begins to change. Their character begins to change. They become more aggressive in their behavior pattern towards even those in the family that are of the same structure as they are. So let alone our people in society. So when you spoke on that splitting of the minds, beloved, it led me to think in this manner because, you know, there's a duality in nature. And when you look at it from that perspective, you know, I mean, people have to wonder what is going on. You see something, and then all of a sudden you like, nah, that can't be happening. You hear something, and you say, nah, I must be bugging out. Is that in fact? Or is it that the reality that you or the perception that you believe is one way may be in a totally different direction, you know? And so when you spoke to that, beloved, I was right in line with what you were saying.
Well, praise is due to Allah, brother. I just want to put the ideas that are in people's heads already. And I know that sometimes, you know, when I speak, it seems as though I'm coming from left field, but I'm trying to drive certain points that we as the audience, we as a family, we as a nation, we already know these things. We know that something is not right. And, you know, most of the time when we pass these things, it only goes into the front or the forefront of our thinking for a very short time, and then it leaves. Why? because the reality or the pressures of the reality of this current cycle that we're in, what we call the white man's world, it's just a cycle. It's a portion of a cycle. You know how a sine wave goes up and down, it has an ebb and a flow. Everything in nature has a beat to it or a rhythm to it. Even the sun, as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, it may be the center of the universe, but he said it's not the center of the universe. It's near the center of the universe. And the sun, it has its own wobble. It has its own axis that it travels on. And so everything in nature has a breath that it takes, the rhythm that it takes. And that's why I brought it back to the dancing, because it's something that we in the Nation of Islam, we're not known to do. We're not known to be dancers. We don't go to club. You know we don't go to club. But what I'm asking is that we use our military drill, our drill time, to use that in the same form that the warriors of the past used their dancing. When we hear the DI giving live, ride, live, oh, we use that to come into oneness in our thinking. Just like mine. All of those things that we know that have specific rhythm to it, it gives our mind a chance to line up with the thinking. That's why when you touched on Brother John Muhammad going away, and when you touched on family members going into a paramilitary, which is the police, that they also drill. And what they're drilling and the words that they're saying as they're drilling, those words that they're saying is also putting them in that dual mindset, that you no longer belong to that part of society. You are now part of this part of society, and that part of society that you now belong to, this is the action, this is the mores, this is the norms that you're expected to perform. And when we say jump, you say how high. And that's the reason why the military that we belong to, the FOI, MGT, and GCC, we have certain ways that we drill, certain things that we say that is more akin and more in line with the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to get us outside of that thinking that has a dual thinking and gets us into a single-mindedness of purpose. And if you notice, we usually drill or we go into formation prior to us going someplace where that type of thinking, oneness, unity, is a paramount proportion.
Yes, yes, sir, beloved. Let me ask you a question, beloved, because you know, in dealing with this language that you're speaking about, right? How do you view it as far as the perception that it gives, or the lack of perception that it gives to most and many in society?
Well, I'll just give you a basic thinking how society goes. Depending on how you use language is how people judge you almost immediately. You could come to a job interview, which most of us, we drop it down to that base level of, okay, all I want is a job out of this life. But let's put it on that level just for example. You go to a job interview, you could wear the finest suit of clothes, tie, shirt, matching shoes, shine, looking 100%, haircut right, everything looking wonderful. But as soon as you open your mouth, if the language that comes out does not match the value of the clothing that you wear, you know that people are going to put you on the level of a moron, and they're not going to treat you right. So you could similarly come to the same job interview disheveled, clothes all tatted and torn up, looking kind of crazy, but as soon as you open your mouth, you speak on the level of a genius. Which is the sign of the person in this world that many of the people consider a genius, Albert Einstein. Most of the time when you see him in the photograph, his hair is all wild all over his head.
But nobody ever says,
he, wants him to say, Albert, go comb your hair. The guy that just died, Steve Jobs, Apple founder, they said in the beginning they had to have him sit in Apple in a desk. At his earlier job before he founded Apple, he used to be in a technology company, and they used to have to sit him by himself and give him a shift late at night because he never changed his clothes. He stunk. He didn't like the bait. And so you would say, well, here's a fellow that really shouldn't even be working. He didn't like to take other people's thinking. He had his own way of thinking. So what I'm saying is people immediately judge you based on your language more so than they judge you on your outer appearance. And that is especially the wives. Let's say we're not talking about the average run-of-the-mill person. Let's talk about when we're dealing, we're always dealing on more than one level at the same time. You know, we are taught, be careful of how you entertain strangers because you may be entertaining angels unawares. Well, how do you know that this person is an angel? They look just like you and I. We know that they're an angel based on the language that they hit us with. Say, man, I came upon a man in the street. He looked as though he was a homeless fellow. But just in the nature of two or three questions that we questioned one another back and forth, I knew I was not dealing with an ordinary homeless person. This was an angel. And if I had just looked at him from the outside and not listened to the words that he said, maybe I would have missed the entire message that God had for me at that particular moment. So be careful how you entertain strangers.
Yes.
It's not the outside of us. And this is all culminating into technology on a bigger level. And I really don't want to rush this subject because it brings us to many different points at the same time. But the idea is, how did we ever get to understanding of Allah came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad? How did we ever get to that point? If we're just looking, especially we in the Nation of Islam, especially during the 1930s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, we were learning the positive attributes of blackness. We were being taught how black, original people are black men, the Asiatic black man. And the photograph that we were left with, the picture that we were left with of Master Farad Muhammad was that of someone that we, on a baby level, may be calling a Caucasian white man. So it's not about the outside. We say it's about what's inside of a person. And the only way that any of us can find out what's inside of a person, well, not the only way, because we could take a knife and cut them open, but we'll miss the point. But the way that we find out what's inside of a person is to listen to them, hear the language that they speak, and it will give us an idea of who we're dealing with.
Yes, sir, beloved. You know, and it's funny how you made reference to, you know, the God, man, you know, and his coming. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I just want to brag on myself tonight for a bit. I was in school, and I'm studying this. I had an electrical test tonight, which I scored a 92, you know, all praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
But I say that because in the essence of me studying, as I told you, dear brother, is there was something in the course of me studying that I didn't look at it from the way the instructors looked at it. I was studying to see how is it that the originator created himself out of that state of triple darkness through these forms of atoms and neutrons and protons. And this is a heavy subject, but I'm not going to get too deep into that. But I just wanted to throw that out there, is that if, you know, we understand that concept of Allah coming in the presence of Master Farad Muhammad, man, we would absolutely move this here thing, you know, that we have embarked on, whole lot quicker, and this enemy would be defeated. Beloved, if I can, I just want to shift gears for a minute, because I know we're speaking about language and things of that nature, and how it correlates with the technology that is used by this enemy, and he uses it well. But I just want to speak briefly about this. Can you touch on the different devices that they use in order to trick out people into thinking other than themselves?
Yes, sir, brother. And I know we was going to move into that. Let me ask a question before we do, brother. Beloved brother Farns, are there any phone calls before we move on to the next subject? I just wanted to be clear if anyone had any questions about the first part of what we was going into, or if anybody had any statements regarding that, if there's anybody on the phone line, Brother Farns.
Well, we should check, brother. We got 832-8787. Do you have a question or comment?
Can y'all hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, walaikum salam.
I noticed y'all were talking about language, and I just have a question before y'all move on. When we're talking about technological warfare, and we're talking about, and as Brother Richard mentioned, I was thinking about John Muhammad as well. When we think about how our children are oftentimes influenced by music or by videos and by television, is that a technological preparation for them to stray from the nature in which they were born in? In your opinion, is it a conspiracy, so to speak, especially for people of color, to kind of, advertise or commercialize certain languages that will draw their attention and make them just deter from who they really are?
Let me say this, Brother Jason.
Yes, sir.
Are you? That sounds like a voice that I'm familiar with. Is that my dear wife, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. That's just, let me say that's Sister Gibbons, brother. I agree, Sister.
You know, I just had to do that, brother, because, you know, just hearing her, she brings out the childlike nature in me. Assalamu alaikum, honey. How are you?
I am fine. Walaikum salam, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. To answer your question, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us that one day the devil would be in our living room and we wouldn't even know how he got there. And oftentimes when we look at and we hear and we use the term devil, we're looking at we're talking about the white man, but his inventions have played just the same amount of damage that they have as he have done himself in the flesh. The television is actually a weapon that is formed to distract us from our present day affairs. If you notice that most Americans or most people, period, they do this thing whereas they deal with remote controls and nobody want to get up no more to turn the TV, and they, you know, that was a form of movement, and everything that they does, they are actually stifling the movement of the people now, whether it be the television, it can be they're inventing different ways to cook, microwave, everything that this enemy has invented and has touched, it is actually destroying the original people slowly but surely. You know, there's a pill for this, a pill for that. If you have this problem, here's a pill. You don't want to go to the store. Well, we can do this and have your food delivered right to you. You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at it, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his teachings is exactly on point. And the enemy has actually, in my humble opinion, has started a campaign. And this campaign entails to try to annihilate that which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have done. And when I say have done, I'm talking about the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam. The course that he has taken, the expertise that he has showed in his consistency, his deliverance, his timing, his absolutely undying love for the original family is very, very much executed to perfection, in my humble opinion. And because of this, a lot of us in the Nation of Islam, instead of watching television and doing things that we normally would do if we was in the world, we find ourselves searching for the depths and the wisdom in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so, in fact, sister, I believe that the television is a tool that has been set up by this enemy to steer children wrong. You heard the minister speaking about menace to society. He from this is where he got the understanding that he had to call for this million-man march, because from what I understand, he saw something moving in the direction of us as a people here in America, and he wanted it to be known throughout the world that, hey, we're here, we're Muslims, and no, we're not going to ever forget the plight of our people suffering what they suffered in slavery.
Yes, sir. Brother Richard, I just wanted to bear witness to what you said. It came to mind as soon as you said the television. I'm going to break something else down as well, Sister Gidget. But Revelation 4 and 6, and it reads, King James Version, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." So that hit me, and I knew I had to go and check him in my reference. Is all of those glasses like crystal? And all of those eyes represent TV sets. If you look from space, and if you were able to see from space, all of these TV sets on in America, in each home, sometimes three and four TV sets in the house. If it's not the TV, it's the computer, another glass screen. If it's not the computer, it's your smartphone, another glass screen. So all of that glass and those screens, we're looking at, and we see people peering into them, and it peering back at them. Yes, sir, Brother Farris. I'm going to be brief on this one. But again, Sister Gidget, it is inside of the culture. I just wanted to bring to mind, and I'll be brief on this point. We noticed that, let's say, about 3 or 4 years ago, they started with this Ed Hardy fashion that it seemed innocuous. It seemed like it didn't mean anything, but it took over our young people like a wildfire. And that's our clothing, or their clothing, because I don't wear it and I don't allow my son to wear it, with all of the skulls and bones on it. This was right around the time of Bush and Bush going out, and the Skull and Bone Society was well into the news. But all of the young people were wearing a lot of clothing with these symbols of death and destruction on it. And it seemed like it was just a fashion statement. But it was to prepare them, to make them basically not even to think about it when they started to see in their neighborhoods all of this death and destruction. It was like a in their clothing through the fashion. It was preparing them for the death that we see in and around us today. So it's something that we would think, oh, this is a fashion, but why are all of these young people wearing skulls on them? Skulls, there's some bones that. And also the fashion with the numbers on it. Everybody has to have a number. Number of a man, number of a beast. So I just wanted to say that through the culture, if it's the music, if it's the television and the radio, all of those things are pointing towards his world being masterful over the minds of the people. I know Brother Farr said that it's about time for us to take a break, and I think we should respect that. Brother Richard, is that all right with you?
Oh, most definitely. Brother's the engineer. He's seeing what I can't see, brother. So we thank yes. Allah for Brother Farr's having the eyes to see with it, brother, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, they don't really want to take his cool off.
Boy, throw it.
I just press it. Early
in the morning. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Yeah. No, they don't really want to take his cool off.
Okay. Brother Jason, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, brother. I think it was a different song that loaded up than the song brother had intended to play.
Okay. you know. Oh, that sounds more like it.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. We don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light and pick it fast. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Bring come my love, stand here today.
Families, you're back on the air with the Real FOI, Brother Richard and Brother Jason. If you want to call in for any questions or comments, we welcome those. It's 646-716-5971. That's 646-716-5971. I turn you back over to your two hosts, Brother Jason and Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, beloved. Thank you very much, Brother Forrest. I just want to, brother, that was a nice selection that you just played. I don't want to reveal how old I am, but that just took me back a little bit, you know. Brother Jason, are you there, beloved?
Yes, sir, I'm here, Brother Richard.
Yes, sir. Again, I just want to switch gears at this particular time because, you know, there was something, a series of events that was taking place, which led us to this topic tonight. And, you know, even though we spoke about language and laid the foundation of what technology is, you know, I just want to speak to the weaponry part and how it's utilized. If you can just touch on that for a minute for me.
Yes, sir. And I'd like to apologize to the audience. I know sometimes I could be long-winded. I try to be concise in my answers, but these are very deep subjects, and sometimes with Brother Richard and I, Brother Parks and I, we're building, we can go on for hours on these topics, and we opening up our conversation to you, and please pardon us if we don't extend the greetings to you. So if you do have a chance, if you did call in earlier, if you're still there, as soon as you call in, Brother Parson is going to let us know that you're there, and we'd like to put you right on. So,
right. We have a caller on now from 491-514. I believe they're calling in from the Internet. Do you have a question or comment? 491-514-341. I don't want to give out your whole number, but that. Do you have a question or comment? Calling in from the Internet. You're live on Nation Building with the Real FOI. Any question or comment? Okay. Yes. They don't. All right, brothers, please continue on.
All right. Thank you, Brother Farson. And thank you, caller. If anyone would like to call in and comment and question, we would love to hear from you. So, again, Brother Richard, this is the part that we will get into. And that's the fact that we laid the foundation about language and everything like that, but to the heart of the matter is, if we don't produce the technology that is available, if we don't produce it, we don't know the backdoors that they put. In most of the modern technology now, there's backdoors to each and every one of the programs, meaning that if we think we have a password and we think that our password is ours and ours alone, there's a way in which the manufacturer of that software can get into it, and they say they do it so they're able to repair it. But the reason why they do it is exactly why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we're dealing with the international snooper. They are so paranoid based on the wickedness that they've done throughout the world. They're always looking over their shoulder and looking at their back. So they think that someone is so interested in them and what they have done to other people, is going to be revisited on them, so they can't help themselves. They have to be nosy. They have to be able to look into our internet uses, our telephone usage. Even back when they had telegraphs here in America, they used to find a way to hack into the telegraph communication that was going on over the wires. So anything that we think is private, be it a phone call, a conversation, an email, internet, a text message, whatever you think is private and you have password protected to the 10th degree, understand that there's a backdoor that those who created it put in there so they can get in it, they say, so they can repair the technology if it ever breaks. But the truth is they want to be able to manipulate it to their advantage. All right, we're dealing with now one of the largest secretive agencies that the United States had created, and that's the NSA, or National Security Agency. The NSA just finished building a new facility that is huge. It's filled up with computers and servers and things that I have absolutely no knowledge of. But they're all designed to be able to listen in, look at, and profile each and every one of us. Not because you have any particular political bent or particular political leanings, it's just that you exist. They want to know the way you think. They want to be able to profile you. And just like in that Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report, they want to be able to guess what you're going to do before you do it. So as far as our telephones are concerned, where it does get a little personal into Brother Richard's life, is I don't know how many of you notice, but every time on Blog Talk Radio, when we try to call in to Sister Gidget and her phone, there's always a problem. And I noticed it right off, early off, when Sister first invited me on to speak, I noticed that there was a problem with Sister's phone. The idea is that people have been knowing Sister and what she does and what she represents to us in our nation for a long time, and they want to be able to use their technology to listen in and to profile everybody that Sister has contact with. There's no need for any of us to get alarmed, because whether you know Sister Gidget or not, your phone is tapped. Just, you know, just deal with it, live with it, and speak accordingly. So Brother Richard, being a friend of Sister Gidget, his phone, of course, from years back was tapped too. But in times of greater technological need, they have greater technological advances. And just as we speak, they digitize what we say. They can formulate through digital analysis. And just like some programs that music producers use, they can actually make a conversation that sounds like it's Brother Jason talking, but I'm nowhere near that conversation. And they can break in on a phone call that I'm having and interject one or two words. And maybe I'm speaking to my wife and I'm telling her, honey, I'm coming home for dinner. But they break into my, honey, I'm coming home for dinner, and they say a couple of things that my wife said, what? And I'm like, I didn't say anything.
Brother Jason? No?
Yes, sir.
I hate to interrupt you, but we have a caller, 601-415. 601-415-Exchange. Area code 601-415-Exchange. You have a question or comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, well, alaikum salam, Brother Rakim.
Well, yes, sir. I'm just listening to the show, brother. I'm just listening to the show. I really didn't have a comment or a question. I'm just enjoying myself.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
I know you got a part of this here, brother Rakim. I know you've experienced all of these things with technology, brother. We've spoken about this here, brother.
He must have heard me calling him in the mind, brother, because I was there sitting up just thinking about you, brother.
Praise be to Allah. How is the fruit?
Oh, fine, brother. I'm fine, brother. Fine. And you?
I'm fine by the grace of Allah, brother. Just tired, brother. Just got home from work, and I'm just tired.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But other than that, I'm doing great. Yes, sir.
Sit in the living room with us, beloved, and had this discussion, brother. You know, because
yes, sir. Just pass me the coffee, brother. No cream, brother.
It's sitting on the table. You gotta make your own, beloved, because we deep in the trench of this conversation. You know, because this damn enemy, you know, he's trying to create havoc amongst the original people. And I told them when I first was invited on the airwaves by yourself and my future wife that when I came out, that if he ever attacked or tried to attack myself or those who I love, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life exposing him. And this is just the beginning, so we might as well get comfortable.
Oh, yes, sir.
We got 491-514 is back. Do you have a question or comment? 491-514-341. You're calling from the internet, I believe. Do you have a question or comment? Okay. I guess they don't. I guess they're just listening. Go ahead, brothers. Y'all continue. Brother Lakeem,
yes,
your mic is still live, so, you know, if you start eating, please let us know.
Brother Forrest, okay. Yes, sir. He remembers. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well,
so, Brother Jason, I hate to cut you off in that, but I wanted to give people a chance to get in if they wanted to. So, go ahead,
yes,
Brother.
Yes, please, family, please call in. You know, we would definitely like to hear your comments and questions on this particular comment. But go ahead, Brother King Rakim. I know there's a part in this that you play, and I know that there's a part in this that where you can bear witness to how they are trying to use their technology against us, Big Brother.
Oh, yes, sir. They definitely are. They're watching us. They're listening to us. They're keeping up with every move we make, everything we say. Because they knew what we say to be the truth, and they fear that truth that we speak. Because they know that we know who they are, what they are, and they also know who we are. So, therefore, I can bear witness, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No doubt. I just wanted to put this out there for all of those that are listening. If, for example, we decided that we wanted to make a campaign, and in this campaign we wanted to thwart their listening, because, you know, quiet as is kept, even though they're doing it, it is still the Fourth Amendment gives us as citizens in the United States, if you consider us that and if you consider it that, but let's say just for argument purposes that everybody has Fourth Amendment rights, which protects us against illegal search and seizure, and by the fact that they're going into our private conversations is as tantamount to an illegal search. They do it without warrant. You know, they had the whole scandal of the warrantless wiretap and warrantless wiretapping. It goes on all the time. But in order to force them to respect the privacy and the rights of the citizens, if we all answer the phone similar to this, "Oh, greetings, this is Brother Jason, and I know this phone call is being traced and tracked and tapped." And we all did that. Everyone in the United States did that. They picked up their phone and say, "This is so-and-so, and I know this phone call is being recorded." That means that everything that you say after that, you're saying it with the full knowledge that it's being recorded, and there's no way that they would know that you're not making whatever it is that you're saying up as a result of them recording you. So it's as though you're living in your living room and one of the walls is glass. You know that people walking by are able to look at you, so certain things that you do, maybe you would sit at your living room table and you would be playing tiddlywinks. Well, now you pick up a New York Times and reading the New York Times because you want the people that are walking past to know that you are an educated person. So you change your behavior based on the fact that you know that people are watching. So if all of us in America pick up the phone, "This is so-and-so, and I know my phone is being tapped," every time they try to bring us before the court saying that we have a secret wiretap, well, it's not a secret wiretap. It's a wiretap, but it ain't secret.
Yes, sir.
And so yes, if we were to do that, it would force them to
behind the shadows and come out and deal with us like men and say, well, if you have something to say, well, just say it. And I have another fix for that. For those of you, us who are just forced to talk reckless on the phone, what I would suggest, if you're that type of person that would like to talk reckless on the phone, I'm talking to you now. If you talk reckless on the phone, this is how you must do it. You have to change the meter and the speed of your conversation. This way, if you ever go to court, people will say that the reckless words that you're speaking have in some kind of way been doctored. Get it? Like they spliced the tape together in a reckless way because you decide you want to talk reckless on the phone. I don't suggest it because, as you know, all our phone calls and conversations are being taped, and they wish to use them against us, whether we like it or not.
Well, beloved, you know, that those are wonderful ideas that you have came up with for the people, you know, and you know, the reality is that all throughout the nation, and I'm talking about America now, you know, I mean, people are having different things done to them via this technology, and they're hearing things that they're uncertain about. Brother Jason, do me a favor. Speak to in reference to that laser beam that you and I had a discussion on, that which sounds travels over on the airwaves with, if you can.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a scenario, beloved, and I'm going to be brief on this. And again, if you have any phone calls, any questions, please call in, and I'll be, you know, as brief as possible. What brother Richard is referring to is a game that they play, and they have been playing in the CIA. For example, you know, the CIA is based on lies, and they tell lies all the time. That's their training from the day they walk into the door. So when one of their agents, as they say, goes rogue or decides that they don't want to play the game anymore, and they have knowledge of how the tricks are being played, and they have knowledge that in some kind of way would hurt the CIA, what they do is this. They try to label that person as crazy. They discredit them. Here's how they do it. They have a laser that has a carrier wave, and that carrier wave is able to project sound over a large distance into the head or the brain, up against that little bone in our ear, to make it as though someone is talking to you inside your head. Here's what they do. They may record your neighbor who lives next door. Say they live in an apartment next door to you. They record your neighbor's phone conversations, and they play it into your ear while you can't hear the neighbor's conversation over in between the walls. You hear it in your ear. So the neighbor's talking to his wife. Yeah, honey, I'm going to come home. I'm going to bring some eggs. I'm going to bring some. But you hear it inside of your head. So every time you're looking at this man, you're looking at your neighbor kind of strange, because why is your voice inside of my head? But, okay, you go a couple of months and it's not, you know, you hear it sometimes you don't hear it. But one day your neighbor may say something to you, you know, good morning, Mr. Simpson, is that my newspaper or your newspaper? And you flip out and punch that same dude in his face. Why are you in my head? Boom, you knock the neighbor out. Neighbor calls the police, and you say to the police, he's inside of my head. Well, the police take you not to the police precinct. They take you to the psychiatric evaluation. And you tell the person that is evaluating you, well, wait a minute. I've been hearing voices in my head. Oh, you've been hearing voices, huh? Well, we got medication for you. And they spread it around that you're the type of person that's been hearing voices. So even if they let you go out of the insane asylum or crazy house, as they used to call it, back out in the street, whatever information that you had that was detrimental to the CIA, even if you say that you have actual facts, they will say, well, here's a person that has, in this date, that date, and this date, been admitted into the psychiatric institutions. So whatever it is that they are going to tell you is invalid. There was a case here in New York with one of the
famous anchor people. He was accosted on the street. I forgot it was Dan Rather or one of them. And it was a guy with a lead pipe came and beat the man in the street, and he kept asking him, what is the frequency? What is the frequency? And they had to drag the dude away because he was beating up a news anchor. And they were saying, well, what happened? And the guy kept saying, his voice is in my head. He's talking directly to me. But as it turns out, they were using that particular piece of technology on that man. And you can go on YouTube if you like, and you can see many of these technologies put into use. It goes over, you know, as they perfect it, it goes over large distances. They also, beloved, they have a truck that they roll up on large gatherings where it's insurrection. Let's say a protest march. And it's a large truck that looks like it has a parabolic antenna, the same kind of antenna that you would find for your cable TV and things like that, your dish network. But it's a large one. And that is a sound projection cannon. And they're able to use certain frequencies on the crowd that will make people defecate and urinate on themselves and feel like they need to vomit. And they use it for large crowd control. This is documented. Many of the cities, the large cities where they're going to have these Democratic and Republican conventions over the next course of the next few months, they already have these trucks in place. So if people want to act out, they have something for you. That technology is already there, and it's in place. Let me say this. That technology goes back in its current form. It goes back to the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler. I've seen it on Modern Marvels. I watch a lot of the History Channel. I've seen these things in the blueprint stage, and let me say, they've perfected them. So sometimes you may think that you're hearing things inside of your head. They may be practicing these particular pieces of technology on us, so we have to be very careful. It's not the fact that it's in your head, but what is being said makes it all important. That's in a nutshell there, Brother Richard. So I just wanted to drop that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Brother Rakim, are you there?
Sir, I'm here, brother. I had the phone on mute.
Oh, okay. It's so good to hear your voice, brother. I just wanted
to
know.
Yes, sir. Yours as well, brother. Yours as well. You, Brother Jason, Brother Forrest. It's a blessing, brother.
Praise to Allah. Good to hear your voice, beloved. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know that you were still sitting in the living room with us enjoying the coffee. You know,
I'm still here, brother.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to hear from you, brother. Is there any incidents that you can recall? Because I mean, like I said, I'm on a quest to expose this damn beast, man, because he has absolutely interfered with my wife's personal life and things that, you know, I've been going through myself, you know, and I told them from the door if they attack, I would expose them, and this is where they have me at. I'm not sitting down waiting for them. This is not Brother Jason. This is not Brother Rakim or Brother Forrest. This is Brother Richard Muhammad talking to you face to face, man to man. God damn it, I'm ready. So, brother, that being said, is there any incidents that you can recall that you may touch on for the people that you can explain to them things that may have transpired with yourself?
Yes, sir. I can actually speak on a couple, or shall I say several incidents, and it's all involving the telephone. I've talked to your wife. I've talked to Sister Marilyn. There's a couple other brothers I've talked to in the nation, FYI, and we get on conversation. That's why the phone is really not a good source of communication when you're really talking about something that you don't want this damn beast to hear, because they will manipulate the telephone lines the best way they can. I've talked to different believers, and the phone cuts off. You got you hear a bad connection all of a sudden, and within 2 or 3 seconds, the phone cuts off like clockwork. It just cuts off 2 or 3 seconds, and you're wondering what the hell is going on. But then you also gotta pay attention to what you're talking about, because what you're talking about
if two believers are in a conversation, this enemy does not want to communicate any information to the other. So they will cut your line off. And they will make it so damn irritating that you get frustrated and you're like, damn this phone. You don't want to even call them back. But you know that you must communicate that information to that believer. So you keep trying over and over again. And you keep trying, then they get tired.
Well, you know, beloved, when you said that part about you get frustrated, I all too well know that part of it. You know, and it reminds me of that lesson of our Father where it talks about why did we run Yaku and his man-made devil from the root of civilization. So that's just something for you, Satan, that if you wise, you will take heed to the message because I'm not going to play with you. Brother Jason.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just like to add on, you know, to certain things that you may know that has been transpiring yourself in regards to this technology that they're using, because I mean, it seems to me that if they're trying to discredit certain believers or they're trying to cause trouble amongst the righteous, that we may continue as is written to fight and kill one another and ultimately lead to our total destruction. Can you relate to that for me?
Yes, sir, brother. And I would like to say this. The way in which I understand it, as Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us, is that anytime you see two brothers getting ready to fight or going to kill one another, that there's a real devil in the midst. And the reason why they cause brother to fight brother is so that they can step in the middle to rule them both. So just to start out with this, one of the things that I think that we can do to counter that, because one of the things that happens when we are naturally the prey to an open predator, every prey is blessed to balance the mind of the predator with natural defenses. And one of the natural defenses that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave to us to inoculate us, to give us a vaccine against the evil whisperings of the slinking devil who whispers into the hearts of men from among the men and from the, and among the jinn, is he told us to speak the best of language when it comes to believers. Meaning that when we speak to one another, we should have the highest of moral and the highest type of talk. Meaning even the frequency of our speaking should be in the highest, most sophisticated, and most civilized manner that we can find. Because the enemy will not operate when he's trying to get us to fight one another. He will not operate in that lofty position. He wants us to become base in our thinking, use our underworld tactics against one another. That's why he has books that he publishes on a regular basis called Books of Dirty Tricks. If you have an enemy, they will sell you a book, and in that book, they will sell you a book of 1001 dirty tricks. You can read and see what they do to one another. But if we use the highest of language when we're dealing with one another, especially on the telephone, when we can't look at one another face to face and speak to one another, looking in each other's eyes and detecting one another's body language and feeling each other's internal vibrations, knowing that the person across the table from me is in love with me like I'm in love with them, if we have to speak on the telephone, we should absolutely use the greatest language that we can. We should use the greatest technology that we can in dealing with one another, and that will thwart the enemy injecting unfavorable or unseeming language in our conversation. And that goes for us speaking with our children. That goes for us speaking with our elders and our grandparents, our family members, even our peers, our colleagues at work, our cadre, whoever it is that we're speaking to. We should learn to speak, as you said from the lessons, grammatically correct, and also speak the best of language.
Yes, sir, beloved. if I can at this time, when we spoke a few minutes ago, you spoke about the transmission of how they do these things, and you know, it brought me to mind that what you was actually getting at is that this is some form of subliminal suggestion as they play on that 23rd screen that's used on the television. If you can, I would like for you and Brother Rakim to touch on the subliminals that they send, whether it be via the airwaves or just basically in everyday life that they send to the children as well and the brothers in the street. As you know, we're in the street now, and you know, I see a lot of things that, you know, is transpiring. And I just want you to speak to the subliminals.
Yes, sir. Brother Rakim, why don't you begin and I'll follow up, brother.
Brother, brother, I'm so out of it. And you're actually motivational to me, brother. I want you to sort it, and I guarantee you I'm going to end it.
All right. All praises due to Allah.
Okay,
yes, sir. But just the idea of subliminal, the word sub meaning under. So we understand that we have called him and we have known the Holy Quran is the slinking devil. When we learned about in the early stages of the Bible in Genesis, where it talked about the serpent crawling on his belly, that is always an undercurrent, a carrier wave. There's a as you said, the 14th frame where it's just outside of our normal vision. Right outside of our normal thinking, right outside of our normal hearing range, that's where they lurk. Not directly, but indirectly. And so they make suggestions to us from a point where we can't grasp it 100%. That's why when they encourage us to purchase these high-definition televisions, it's really to lull us to sleep a little bit faster. And when we fall asleep, that's when the subliminal suggestions. They can have, it's been well documented. When the movie theaters used to have the frame, when they're showing the movie, and one of the frames has, as the movie is clicking by so fast, it has a still picture of a bag of popcorn. So the regular movie's going by, popcorn. Movie going by, popcorn. And then all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you're craving some popcorn. As soon as intermission comes, there's a long line of people that didn't necessarily want popcorn, but there was a frame that was injected into the movie that says you need to go and get some popcorn. So that's a subliminal suggestion. It goes outside of your normal thinking and normal purview.
Yes, sir.
Brother, I want to add something there, Brother Richard, real quick. I just want to add something. I want to say something. I want to see if y'all can finish it. Two offbeat patties.
Stop.
Somebody finish it for me.
What's that? Say that one. Once again, Brother Forrest. What is that?
Two offbeat patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun. I'm 61 years old, brother.
Oh, brother, let me tell you something, brother.
I was 12 years old when I put this commercial first aired, brother. That's how they plant things into your subliminal. So, if you don't believe that you're at war, just think about the slogans and commercials that you remember, and you don't even know why you waste the time to put them in your memory bank.
Oh, it's war, brother. It's a war against us and our black minds because, like the teachers tell us, they want to offer us false friendship. They want to give us a world that's totally, totally substitute to the world Allah wants to give us. You know, they want us like Brother Forrest, some of the fast foods. Every other damn commercial is a fast food commercial. McDonald's. Okay, we were already told that the burgers contain silicone and slime. We already know that these fast food places are deaf merchants. And it was funny. Mr. Farrakhan had the, when he told us at Savior's Day about the McDonald's and the fast foods, Newsweek came out with a magazine with a little fat white baby on the cover of the issue. Has anyone seen that magazine?
No, sir.
They had a fat white baby on the cover of the magazine, and they were concerned about the health of children, talking about obesity and sickness of children. And
yes, sir.
I'm up here looking at this like, okay, you want to give us McDonald's, you want to give us Burger King, you want to give us Wendy's, but soon as their holy apostle speaks out against this, now you want to pretend like you're concerned about it. Why is that? Why all of a sudden are you concerned? Well, you're the one giving us. You're feeding this stuff to us. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, bro, right. I mean, you right on point with that. You know, and you know, before we continue this here, because you know, y'all have mentioned apostle. You know what I'm saying? In several statements, man. I just want to take the time out personally, you know, to give them an original salute. You know, the general, all generals, and on
yes,
just
sir.
To let them know that we love them and we with you. And that's why this show is being done, to let the beast know that you looking at Farrakhan, but we got him. We got him, and we intend to fight for this nation until the death. So whatever y'all intend to do, y'all might would just bring it to the forefront, you know, because
yep.
He is the general of all generals.
You know, and,
brother,
and that,
we
that,
have a caller. We have a caller from the internet. 1111 is calling from the internet. Would you like to make a comment, a question? 11111. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay, brothers, continue on. I guess they don't, or they actually have their phone on
mute. You know, it's funny that these type of callers is coming. You know, because I was explaining to Brother Jason the other day. You know, I received an anonymous call from somewhere, and when I called the number back, nobody picked up. The other day I got a text from a different number, and it gave me the greetings, and then I text back. There was no response. You know what I'm saying, beloved? So I mean, these are the type of things that they're doing, you know, to let us know that they're there. You know, and my thing is, you know, you don't have to play with it. We might as well just get the dance on. You know what I'm saying? And just come on out with it, you know? Because what's happening now is that there's people that are listening. They're being affected by whatever technology that they're using. And, you know, and my purpose for asking Brother Jason and Brother Rakim to come on the show is basically because we want y'all to know, beloved, that y'all not losing your mind. Y'all not going crazy as they may want you to believe that you are. Everything that you are engaging in is very, very much real, and it's a part of this warfare that they have engaged on the black community. They are upset. And I say it again, they are upset at our commander-in-chief, but it's okay. It's okay. We are going to sit here, and we're going to counter what you do, and we're going to continue to expose you.
Yes, sir. Brother. You know something, Brother Richard? This is another thing that I thought about. It's just so much, brother. This devil is so damn wicked. He's so damn wise. I mean, it's just so much that this damn beast does against our people. He even does against his own people. I mean, like, for example, there was a commercial on television. I think it was something about wireless or insurance company commercial or whatever. And it showed two white men talking, and they were talking in codes like homosexuals.
Mm.
They were talking in code, but you had to know what they were talking about in order to pick up on the fact that they were promoting homosexuality right there in your damn face.
Yes, sir. But, well, you know, brother, they even have that influence into the little cartoons, because from what I understand, the makers of SpongeBob is actually implementing that in their little cartoon with SpongeBob. And if you look at little things that they send subliminal, you know, for those who are old enough, the Little Rascals, they send their little large symbols through the Little Rascals, the Honeymooners, and this is how they transmit their messages. You understand what I'm saying? And they hide things. Malcolm said that if you ever wanted to fool black people, put it in between the pages of the book, because we don't read. And he's understanding that we lack the knowledge of what he's doing, so he thinks. And so he feels that he can continuously to get away with it. But I beg to differ, because you made a mistake when you have, in fact, set up your machinery against my wife and those of us who are in the Nation of Islam, because once again, I would intend to expose you for the damn bastards that you are.
Well, let me add this to the mix, brothers. One of the things that we understand is that they monetize everything. When anything that comes into existence through their world, they put a dollar value on it. And so they turn it from something that is real. For example, we have a brotherhood. Our brotherhood that we have in the FOI to us is priceless. However, what they would like to do is put a dollar value on it and offer it to us by showing them how we do what we do in our community without having to conform to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So here in New York, most of the organizations that would like to come and engage our people as the apostle has asked us to do during our FOI night, most of them are about to get a really big paycheck. Those same organizations that we have rubbed shoulders with and known, they're about to come into a lot of money, because the beast has monetized or tried to put a dollar value on what it is that we do. Okay, so we're going to see some of these same organizations now with brand new vehicles, new jackets. They're going to have new clubhouses. They're going to have new buildings and offices. While we're going to continue to do what we do because it's the love of our people. Now, one day, the beast is going to take away that money in the form of the grants and the donations that they give to those organizations. And they're going to do it in such a way, they're going to say there's no more money in the budget for us to give you the money to do what it was that you were doing. So now those organizations have a choice. Either do the same thing that they were getting paid for free, or close up their tent and move on. And that's why I'm saying that they put the technology of money, which actually doesn't exist, they turn everything into a dollar value, therefore they can control it. And we need to be careful of that as we're moving in the ways that we move, because they're going to make an offer. You know, the 30 pieces of silver is in the book for a reason. They're going
yes,
to make
sir.
A value out of each and everything that we do. And if we, for example, go for the dollar fluctuates. You wake up in the morning, they tell you the dollar is worth X amount of dollars as opposed to the Japanese yen, as opposed to the euro. So each and every day, they set the value of our love, if that's what we love, money. So we need to be careful as we're going, because their money, their stock market, the way that they handle business is the technology. We were talking about the cartoons and the movies and the TV. All of those things have already been monetized. So if they're using the greater technology of money to cover the smaller technology. If we are able to master the greater technology, we can master all of those smaller technologies and use them to our advantage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Forrest.
Yes, sir.
Yes, can you how much time do we have left to the show?
You have 9 minutes and 41 seconds, brother, and counting down.
Yes, sir. Is there any other callers on the line that have any questions?
Not that I know of, sir. I mean, there's callers that's listening in, but there's no one that's single that they have a question.
Okay. Thank you, beloved. I just like to take this time, you know, to touch on what you was talking about, Brother Jason, as far as the monetary funding is concerned. And as you know, we had a conversation based on that and the different laws that is set up in the United States. And, you know, it just gave me a preview of the next show. So, you know, this commercial is going out. You know, because I had a talk with you in regards to the laws that this system has designed and versus the UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Code, you know, that deals with common law and the sovereignty of individuals. And I just like to take this time to openly invite you back for another conversation, beloved, based on the sovereignty of an individual versus the private citizenry of this United Snakes of America, beloved. If that's all right with you and you as well, Brother Rakim.
Yes, sir. And you know something, Brother Richard? I'm glad that we got on the subject. I'm coming to life now at the very last minute, but I'm glad we got on the subject about subliminal messages on television, because you got television shitcom, not sitcom, but shitcom, S-H-I-T, they're programming our people to death.
Yes, sir.
They program
yes,
our people to death, and they think this bull crap, our people look at this crap, and we accept this crap, and we think this is what defines us as a people.
Yes, sir.
This mess don't define us as a people. That's why you look at the children messed the hell up because their parents messed the hell up, and their parents are being programmed, their grandparents are being programmed, damn it, all of us are being programmed, and this is something that we must expose so our people can be educated on how this devil uses his media as a weapon of mass destruction, killing our black youth, killing our minds, killing the black elders. He's killing us all because he wants us to think like he do.
Yes, yes.
He wants us to act like he do. He wants us to be zombies or comatose and fed off this garbage that he puts on television. And this is, if you look at the youth, everything they do, everything they say is influenced by the damn radio or the damn television. Nobody seems to have a personality of their own. They all damn clones of the same product, which is the television and the radio. The radio, not the radio, the radio.
I caught that, Brother. I caught that. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to say this part to bear witness to Brother Rakim. We started out with language, and I want to end with language, if you don't mind, Brother Richard. I just wanted to say this. What Brother Rakim kept saying, program, program, program. And if you think about it, that's exactly what's happening. Just like the computer, those young minds and our old minds are being programmed with program. And when we started out, we talked about language being technology and who we were dealing with, and we were talking about the alphabet. Every time we put letters together, and we deconstruct words, what do we call it? Spelling, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you're talking about you're asking someone to spell, that's exactly what it is. Just like the Wicked Witch makes a spell. I'll leave it like this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good.
Yes, sir.
Good observation, brother. Good observation.
Yes, sir. All praise to Allah.
The scripture says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And the more, like you said, Brother Rakim, they use their media to deceive the people. And we thank you, brother, particularly for your insight to start this here type of program where we can bring forth subject matters that is pertinent to the development and the survival of us as a people. So at this time, I'd like to thank you, Brother Jason, Brother Forrest, for engineering the program. You know, we thank our nation building family. We thank you over and over again for your support, dear listeners, because without you and your ear, we could not have a voice to share with. And we just want to give, and we hope that we gave information that is pertinent to your survival, because we need each other. We have to gird up our loins and fight this mighty fight together. Once again, to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, original salute. We with you, dear brother. We love you, dear Holy Apostle. And to the enemy, this one you will not have. Any other last comments or statements?
Brother, we have a last question from 832-887.
832-887,
you live.
Oh, it's me. It's Sister Gidget again. Assalamu
alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know who it is, sister. You know your number.
I just wanted to say that I am so proud and I am so delighted by the outcome of the show. All of you gentlemen did so well tonight, and you were so informative and on point and interesting. I did not go to sleep not one time. So I just want to thank you for informing us and dialoguing in that manner where you made it plain for us to understand what is going on. So I just wanted to say salute to all of you. I love you, Richard. And
I love
all my brothers, Rakim, Forrest, and Jason. Mad love for you all. And I just want to say thank you once again.
Hey, I'm jealous now, fellas. We gonna have to sit down and talk after the show.
And listen, hold up, it's just a gadget. You know what just happened?
Yes,
it's just a gadget. Now, he just invited me to sit down in the living room. He just invited me to the living room and sit down and drink some coffee, right?
Okay, well, watch out for the chemical warfare.
And sister,
watch out for the chemical warfare. I can't say what's in it.
Sister, I'm not concerned about what's in it. The stick that he's drinking with us.
Family,
my concern is whether or not...
We're under a minute time.
Yeah.
We're under 1 minute's time. Closing remarks.
I'm just going to say this. Brother Richard, don't stop serving the coffee, brother.
Yes, sir, beloved. And brother Forrest, thank you for being the engineer to steer this ship, beloved. Yes, we are under 1 minute. And again, to our nation building family, I just want to express to you that we love you so much. And I pray, Allah, that you have received information that is pertinent to your development. We will continue every week by the grace and permission of Allah to inform you, to give you the knowledge.
We are now out, Brother Richard. We are now out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Brother Bambi?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Officially the end of the show.